We do welcome you again in the Saviour's name to our evening service broadcasting on behalf of Londonderry Free Presbyterian Church. And this evening we turn to the scriptures and we turn to Mark's Gospel and the chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark and the chapter 6. We will break in at the verse 14. And King Herod heard of him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead. And therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Others said that it is Elias, and others said that it is a prophet, or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded, he is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid upon John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him, and would have killed him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee. And when the daughter of Herodias came in and danced and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth, and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry. Yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And immediately the king sent an executioner, and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of verse 29. And again, we're looking to the Lord, trusting that he will bless the reading of his word this evening. Excuse me, let's just bow our heads in prayer for a few moments and seek for the Lord's help, even as we come to this passage of scripture together this evening. Let's pray. Eternal God, our Father in heaven, we thank and praise thee that thou art a faithful God. Thou art faithful to the covenant. Thou art faithful to thy people. Thou art married to the backslider, even as we considered this morning. And Lord, we look to thee for help as we come to thy word tonight. We pray for the Spirit of God, and we pray that thou would speak in the name of King Jesus. Amen. Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Perhaps you have heard that little phrase, that little clause, that little saying many, many times before. Perhaps this warning has been issued to you for a great many years, and still you remain somewhat unpersuaded. Perhaps you're listening tonight and you're yet unsaved. You're still living for the things of this world. And you have not come to Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. Maybe you're still young. And this phrase, this saying that sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go, it seems like that's just a saying of an older generation, a generation that wants to rob you of fun and enjoyment in this life. Maybe you're more senior in years. And you look across the years of your life, and you maintain that you have never fallen into grave sin. Yet here in Mark's Gospel in the chapter 6, we have proof We have proof that this saying is true. Sin will take you further than you intended to go yourself. We have proof when we look at the life of King Herod. We see his spiral into sin, how he fell deeper and deeper. And so for a few moments this evening, we want to consider an unwise king. An unwise king. As we consider the unwise king, King Herod here in Mark's Gospel in the chapter 6, the first thing we notice is Herod's depravity. Herod's depravity, or his sin. He was a sinful man. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 6 and the verse 18. For John had said unto Herod, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. And here in this verse 18, a very specific sin is mentioned. Herod had fallen into, got himself into, this position of great sinfulness. Herod had taken the wife of his brother Philip. Philip was not dead. Herod already had a wife of his own. Philip had a child, a daughter, with his wife. And yet Herod still took Herodias, Philip's wife, to be his own wife. What a grievous sin. Adultery. Divorce. In Matthew chapter 14 and the verse 4, in a parallel passage, we read, and John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. He sought to divorce his own wife for another. Such an awful situation. The whole situation was messy. It shows the complete depravity of Herod, his sinfulness. Surely then, immediately we can see that one sin leads to another. He desired to have this woman, and therefore he divorced his wife and acquired another. One sin leads to another. And this woman, Philip's wife, Herodias, this woman that Herod took for a new wife, she was a wicked woman. She brought her husband down into further sin. She taught her own daughter, Philip's daughter, extreme cruelty. And from that we can learn the importance of good company. Even as believers this evening, we can learn the importance of good company. Christians need to surround themselves as much as is possible with good and faithful saved brothers and sisters in Christ. When we get into bad company, it can be extremely detrimental to our walk with the Lord. Our friends ought not to hinder us in our Christian life. They ought not to stand in the way of progress for the Lord. But we would even say tonight to the unbeliever, do not be pulled down into greater, into deeper sins by those so-called friends. And perhaps tonight you're not saved and you've heard the gospel message many times before. You've even at stages had that desire within your heart to come to Christ. But all you can hear from your so-called friends is discouragement around this matter. And you've sought to speak to these friends about spiritual matters, about eternal matters. And they turn to you and they say, lighten up. They say, don't think upon these matters. They say, you're too young, time enough to worry about these things in a few years' time. And they distract you from eternal matters. They distract you from the gospel with the sins and pleasures of this world. We look at this woman, Herodias, and how she dragged Herod into sin. How she dragged her own daughter into sin. We see the wicked events that were happening here in Mark's gospel and the chapter 6. The dance of Herodias' daughter. The foolishness of the oath that Herod took. And the sense, of course, is that Herod took this oath repeatedly. We see the depravity. One commentator speaking on this dance of Herodias' daughter, he said, no modest woman would have appeared in this manner before the court. We consider the relationship here. Herodias' daughter was the daughter of Philip. Therefore, this young woman was Herod's niece. And you see the vile and inappropriate actions that are taking place here. And surely then we have to acknowledge that one sin leads to another. You've heard that before. Maybe you've heard a preacher preaching it many times before. And you're thinking to yourself, here we go again. But listen, here's the evidence in Mark's Gospel and the chapter 6. This sinful relationship that Herod got himself into, it led to oaths. Oaths that were unreasonable. And the outcome of those oaths was murder. Taking the life of John the Baptist. There's a pattern. Sin will take you further than you ever intended to go yourself. Perhaps you can see that pattern in your own life. Oh, you say, well, I have not fallen into the awful depravity, the level of sin that Herod has here. But have you noticed a pattern? One sin leads to another. Perhaps there have been those times in your life where your friends have encouraged you to be a part of something you know to be wrong, and before very long you're at the very centre of that sinful action. It's interesting, over in Luke's Gospel in the chapter 3, we read of John the Baptist rebuking Herod there for taking Philip's wife, but also for all the evils which Herod had done. For all the evils which Herod had done. This man, Herod, he was guilty of much sin. Guilty, yes, of these sins we have highlighted together, but much more. Perhaps even the kind of sins that you and I may fall into on an everyday basis. He was a sinful and wicked man. Herod broke the law of God. And I say, so have you. I do not say that in the sense that I am better than you, because we have all broken the law of God. Every one of us. We all deserve judgment. We all deserve the wrath of God. We have broken his perfect law. Justice must be served. Sin, our sin, must be punished. We see Herod's depravity here, his sin, how he stood before the Lord, sinfulness and vile and wicked. I ask you this evening, do you recognize how you stand before the Lord in your sins? Vile, wicked, condemned, helpless. We see Herod's depravity. But secondly, this evening, we notice Herod's dilemma. Herod's dilemma. Herodias' daughter had danced before Herod. Herod was pleased, sinful though this was. He pledges to give her whatever she asks. She goes, she consults with her mother, and she asks for the head of John the Baptist. She wants John the Baptist to be executed, and now Herod's in a dilemma. He has made an oath. Does he fulfill this oath? Mark 6 and the verse 26 we read, and the king was exceeding sorry. Matthew 14 and the verse 9 says, and the king was sorry. Her request for the head of John the Baptist made the king sad. This young woman, Herod's niece, asked Herod to take the life of John the Baptist. This is a dilemma. What's he going to do? One commentator poses the question. If this young lady had asked for Herod's head, would he have obliged? If she had turned around and said, Herod, you have promised to give me whatever I desire that you, Herod, be killed. Would he then have agreed? I think not. It was, after all, the custom amongst the Jews that after an oath was taken, it was taken upon your own life, upon your own head. And Herod here fears that he will lose face. He cannot break an oath. He couldn't appear to go back on his word, especially in company. Wouldn't look good. And we're almost stunned. because we consider all that has happened here, all the wickedness that Herod has been responsible for, and now he's saying he doesn't want to go back on his word. We have to point out at this stage, of course, not only was Herod's oath foolish, that she could have whatever she wanted, his oath wasn't binding. You see, the outworkings of this oath involved the taking of a human life. And that's a direct contravention of the law of God. We cannot lose sight of that. I could go out onto the street tonight and ask a random stranger who knows little of the commandments to give me any commandment, and likely they will say, "Thou shalt not kill." The oath may have been taken here, but Herod was not bound to fulfill this oath. He was bound by a prior law, a more superior law, the law of God. Thou shalt not kill. We must comment at this stage on John's courage. It's important to realize and recognize that he was faithful. That's why he's imprisoned here. He went to Herod. He told him of Herod's own sin. He said, "You can't take this woman for your wife." What a fearful thing it must have been for John to go and to do this. He didn't take the attitude, "Well, this man is a king. What can I do? What can I say?" He wasn't afraid. He went forward. He exposed Herod face to face. Matthew 6 in the verse 20 tells us, Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he had heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. John was faithful. He exposed the sin of Herod. In the scriptures, there's a long line of faithful men who stood up for what was right. You think in the Old Testament, even of Elijah and how he went before Ahab, exposing sin. You think of David and his awful sin, adultery, manslaughter. And Nathan went before him and exposed his sin. Faithful man. Then we examine the pages of church history and we can see clerics and clergymen and men called by God and men in secular society who were Christians, and they have stood up and exposed the wrongs in this land, in this world. And how important it is in this day and age, we who are Christians ought to be praying for those in the spiritual oversight of our congregations, for those who are Christians in civil authorities in our land, that they would have courage and boldness to stand for the Lord in difficult days. John the Baptist had a message that Herod and his new wife did not want to hear. They did not want to hear about their sin. Therefore, Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not, verse 19 says. We combine all the events that are happening here in this portion of Mark chapter 6, and we see the dilemma here. Herod's dilemma. Having heard this message from John, having been told that he was a sinner, that he must turn from his sin, knowing in his heart that John was a faithful servant of God, being convinced of this message of truth, and having imprisoned this man for being a faithful messenger of God, what does he do? What does he do? This is his dilemma. Well, he has options. He can accept the truth of this message that John brings and act accordingly. He can repent. He can stop his evil pursuits. He can be done with his sin and reject this sinful request to take the life of John the Baptist. Alternatively, he can ignore the message that John brought, choose to save face with the world and his friends, and take the life of John the Baptist, knowing full well that it's sin. In effect, he can repent, where he can proceed into deeper and further sin. And I say tonight, you who are unsaved, you have a dilemma tonight. You have a decision. You have options. You can accept the message of the gospel as it's laid out for us in the scripture, that you're a sinner, that your sin condemns you, that your sin must be punished. A just God must punish sin. We expect a judge to sentence a criminal in a court of law. That's justice. But Almighty God sent forth his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son, who became man, the God-man, who lived a life in perfect obedience to God's law, who shed his blood, who died for sinners to purchase their salvation. He took the punishment, he paid the price for his people. And we can know peace with God, we can know forgiveness from God if we repent, if we believe, and if we call to him for salvation. We can accept this message of the gospel and act accordingly. Or we can ignore this message of the gospel. And we can continue on in our career of sin, knowing that one day it will end in eternal condemnation. I ask you tonight, what will you do? Will you accept the message of the gospel? Or will you reject it? We've noticed here Herod's depravity. We have noticed Herod's dilemma. But as we finish this evening, we notice as well Herod's delusion. Herod's delusion. Mark chapter 6, rather, in the verse 20, we read there, as we have read already, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. Herod knew very well that his actions were sinful. John had been faithful in pointing this out to him. And more than that, Herod's actions here indicate he knows his own guilt. Knowing his guilt, what did he do? He deluded himself. And we can all be guilty of that. There's an aside here, even for the believer. Christian, we need to be so careful that we do not allow sin to enter our lives, that we do not entertain some sin that creeps up upon us. We need to examine our hearts and our lives and our motives constantly. Let's not delude ourselves. But we would plead this evening with the unsaved, do not delude yourself. Don't try to fool yourself. The scripture tells you plainly of your sin. Your conscience screams to you that you are guilty before God. Don't ignore these truths. Herod, in these verses, attempts to appease his own conscience. He attempts to make himself feel better. In verse 19, we have detail there that would indicate that Herodias would have killed John the Baptist. But in verse 20, we see that Herod wouldn't allow it. And we can just imagine Herod reasoning in his own mind, trying to appease his own conscience. He's saying, yes, I have done many things in my life that I ought not to have, but if it wasn't for me, John the Baptist, God's servant, would be dead. And this kind of thinking is in the hearts and minds of many today. They know they are sinners. They know that they are not right with God, that they are condemned. They know the way of salvation. They know they must look to Christ. They must repent and call upon him for mercy. And yet they don't. They go about this business of good works. And they say, well, I go to church every week. I give money into the collection plate. Surely that is good enough. And what do they not do? They won't repent and believe. They won't turn from their sin. They won't lean on Jesus Christ alone for salvation. They won't come to Christ. They won't call to God for mercy. And they're like Herod. They're deluding themselves. Oh, that that could not be said of you tonight. There in verse 20 it says again, observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. He heard this message that John the Baptist preached. And what was the message John preached? It was the message of the gospel. And according to verse 20, this message seemed to please Herod. He was glad to hear it, and yet he didn't respond aright. What was John sent to do? What was his mission? To preach what? Preach Christ. He was to go before Christ. He was to announce that Christ was coming. What does he say? He must decrease because Christ will increase. John will go to the wayside. And the Lord Jesus Christ will come front and center. John's message was not about himself. John's message was about Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Messiah. And Herod heard this message. And yet he still didn't respond aright. John Gill, the Bible commentator, writes the following. Herod, like one of the stony ground hearers, received the word with joy, was pleased with it, and in some things outwardly reformed. But the word did not take root in his heart, and therefore what external effects it produced came to nothing, nor was he able to withstand the lusts and the corruptions of his heart. What an awful summary we have here. Herod heard this message. He knew that the message was true, and he still rejected it. It says there in verse 20, he did many things. There we have it again. Works-based religion. His conscience was pricked. And rather than repent, he tried to do some good. Another commentator says he attempted to make a compromise with his conscience. Yes, I have sinned, but I have done all of these other positive things too. And that was his attitude. Yet that kind of attitude is condemned in Isaiah. For it says there, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All of our attempts at good works are as filthy rags. In our sinful state, we stand before God condemned. Condemned. And yet, the gospel promises that we can be justified through Jesus Christ. The gospel promises that we can stand in a position of legal perfection before Almighty God. 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And you consider this, that Christ, God the Son, perfect, spotless, no sin in him. And you consider us, we sinners, depraved, corrupt, sinful, deserving punishment. And Jesus Christ took the punishment for his people on Calvary. The hymn writer says, he took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Suffered and died alone. Those of us who have repented of our sin, who have believed in the gospel, in the finished work of Christ, that he died for us, that he shed his blood for us, that he lives forevermore. Those of us who have called upon him for salvation. Well, at the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ was taking the punishment for our sins. He bore the punishment for us. He has paid the price. Now we stand before God, clothed with the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been declared righteous. Our sins are forgiven. The perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ has been credited to our account. The Shorter Catechism speaks of justification. It says the following. Justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight, only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. I wonder tonight, can you say that you are justified? Have you peace with God? Can you say, it is well with my soul? Is it well with your soul. We look at this unwise king here in Mark chapter 6. Herod, he was so unwise. He was wicked. He was depraved, a sinner, and so are we. He faced a dilemma, a decision to make. Will he repent or will he continue on in his sin? And sinner, you face that decision as well. Will you repent? Turn away from your sin, leave it behind, or will you pursue sin? And Herod deluded himself. Oh, that there would be none listening to this message tonight that would delude themselves. Oh, that any who are listening tonight that are outside of Christ, that you would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would call to him for mercy. I trust and pray you will. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and come even now. Amen.